Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, 31 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Tabisa Matuba from FNB. We'll touch, there were so many results yesterday. We'll touch on Old Mutual and Stadio. We're chatting with Liberty Economist on the current global and local economic challenges faced by markets today. And then Valdine Reddy from the JSC and the sustainability segment that they launched about 2 years ago and also recently issued gender-linked bonds. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines: Supergroup concerned about state's failure to revive fleet management contracts. Those were tenders suspended 2 years ago during the pandemic, haven't yet been reissued or awarded. But I mean, Supergroup results mostly very good. Business Day: Shoprite cracks nod to offer bank accounts allowing salary payments. They've been given permission to turn its money market into account into a fully fledged bank account. It's run by Grindrod Bank, and of course Grindrod Bank is being bought by African Bank. Morning markets red. US, S&P and NASDAQ off 1.1%. In Asia, we've cut Sydney up a few points, while Tokyo is down just over 0.5%. Commodities are all red. Gold, $1,735 an ounce. Brent, $100.01 a barrel. Platinum, $838 an ounce. Palladium, $2,116 an ounce. Rand, $16.94. Top 40 looking for a green open, 580 points to the upside. That's almost 1% higher. That as Tencent trades up a few points in Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Tabisa Matuba, investment analyst, FNB Wealth and Investment. Tabisa, appreciate the early morning. Results coming thick and fast at the moment. The Old Mutual ones, which stood out for me in part because they're sort of the ones now without Nedbank, and so it's sort of Old Mutual standing on its own. What was your take on the numbers?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. You know, I thought it was a very decent performance from the insurer. They did report a profit growth of 87% compared to the same period last year. This obviously comes as, you know, those COVID-19 claims sort of, begin to normalize and mortality claims are normalized. They did release about 292 million of their 2.9 billion COVID-19 pandemic provision. So we can expect a larger provision release at year end, which should be supportive of profitability. But, you know, the impact from the pandemic on operations was lesser than expected in this first half, which was quite positive. But, however, this improvement was partially offset by lower asset-based fees from, you know, lower average market levels as well as higher new business strain over the period. So we saw that coming through on the operational results. You know, they reported adjusted headline earnings per share growth of only 2%. And as you've mentioned earlier, this is because, you know, we saw, you know, contributions from Nedbank not coming through in this first half result. Also, we saw a decline in shareholders' investment return, which was due to weak investment markets in the second quarter. You know that Nedbank was unbundled to shareholders last year in November. So there's obviously reduced earnings for the period compared to the same half-year period last year. But their cash generation remains quite strong. However, management only declared an interim dividend of 25 cents per share, which was a bit lower than expected, and this likely weighed on the share price performance yesterday. But overall, a very decent set of results from this company.
Yeah, I thought the 25 cent dividend was a little stingy, but it's interim, so we'll leave them. We'll give them the opportunity for the full year. Stadio numbers out, learners up 11%, which is kind of in line, maybe a little better than what we saw from Advertech and Curo. The online obviously working quite well. Your take on those set of numbers?
Yeah, this was quite, reasonable. This was actually quite positive. Remember, this is the higher education business that was unbundled from Q in 2017. So they reported headline earnings per share growth of 17%, although this does represent a bit of a slowdown compared to, the same period last year in terms of growth momentum. But revenue increased 13%. This comes with student enrollment increased 11%. Distance learning students was 14%. However, contact learning numbers came under pressure. They we saw that falling 4%. They have a very strong cash flow generation, and cash flow from operations was up 26%, and all outstanding debt was repaid, which obviously was quite positive. But obviously they didn't declare any dividends. They don't. They haven't declared any dividends actually. So with contact learning numbers remaining under pressure, this was largely due to MoPub transitioning away from its contact learning offerings to more to more online offering, and we've seen this pick up coming through, particularly during the height of the pandemic. But the fact that they managed to eliminate completely debt from the balance sheet while maintaining a very healthy cash position was quite was quite positive. But overall, this company remains a very interesting prospect, I think, for long-term investors. We like it from a sectoral and strategic point of view.
Okay, and it was really, really good cash. I mean, they're almost a cash printing machine. Tabisa Matuba, investment analyst, FNB Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early time. And that's our question today. The Old Mutual results, they haven't got the Nedbank post-pandemic, maybe a little light in the dividend. What did you think of those results? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Tony Navathaya, Valdeen Reddy, Director of Capital Markets at the JSE. Valdeen, always appreciate your early mornings. I want to touch on the gender-linked bond. Before we get to that, you launched the sustainability segment to the JSE back in June 2020, so just over 2 years ago. Give us a bit of insight around what it is and how it's done in the 2 years it's been operating.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, the JSE launched the segment, as you say, June 2020. Really, it was with the aim of providing a platform for companies to raise green finance, social finance, and other sustainability initiatives. The segment really makes it simpler and easier to list and trade sustainability-related instruments, which, as you know, is really of interest to the investors right now. And as you say, with COVID, was really elevated from a social perspective in South Africa and globally as well. And we've seen massive increase in the segment, where we're seeing investors really have high demand in the segment.
And there is, I mean, I suppose at the core of the ESG, I mean, it's social, but in many cases it's going to be environmental, and it's going to be governance. It is at the heart of the trend towards ESG.
Absolutely. So it's covering all areas. The instruments provide social and environmental benefits. But overall, if you encompass it all, it's really a platform for companies and institutions to raise funds for activities related to sustainable development, wherever that fits. And it's about transitioning South Africa in terms of a sustainable economy. What we did see is we saw interest in the green bonds when we first brought this to market earlier in 2017. And then we saw interest for sustainability or social related instruments from the 2020 period as we extended that segment.
And the theory here is, I mean, if I issue a green bond, I'm not going to go and build a coal mine, for example. I'm going to use it directly targeted so investors can be confident of where the money raised is being utilized by the businesses.
Absolutely. The framework of these bonds, without getting into the technical detail, helps investors measure how this the funding will go towards sustainability initiatives.
And we've just now seen Barlow World issuing two, a 3 and a 5 year gender linked bonds, looking to raise just over R1 billion from that capital raise. How would something like a gender linked bond work?
So this was the first ever gender-linked bond, so it's really, really awesome. And this instrument is going to create, you know, it aims to create gender diversity. So really what it did, it was to target to grow the participation of women-owned businesses in the economy through its supply chain. So it was really cool and innovative from Barlow World, the first ever that we saw. And it's really trying to address some of the legacy issues in terms of gender imbalance and working towards better transformation so that they can have better participation of women in its leadership structures and supply chain.
And I take your point on that. I mean, it is completely different, and some people are probably raising eyebrows, but we need to make changes, and this is going to be one of the ways to do it. And I'm not sure if you're even able to answer the question. If you're doing a gender-linked bond or a green bond or a social bond, do you potentially get a better rate for it because you're in that ESG, that sort of social awareness space?
Interesting. You know, people often wonder if these will actually come at a discount to other competitive rates. But we've been tracking some of the rates in terms of what any of these bonds, obviously each bond's different in term and tenor, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But some of these bonds, firstly, they oversubscribe. So it shows you that they're in high demand from the investors. But, you know, they have pretty decent returns across the board. On average, you know, we've had quite a few issuance. We have 40 bonds in the sustainability segment to date. But on average, we're looking at 6.5%. But some of them went to as high as 9.5%, some even 10%. So, you know, there's pretty decent returns in this segment.
Yeah, okay. So there's actual proper money, and it comes back to the point, we can make money and we can do good at the same time. It doesn't need to be an either or, which I think a lot of people think it is. Valdene Reddy, Director of Capital Markets at the JSE, always appreciate your early morning insights.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Jenny now with Zandile Makoba, a consumer economist at Liberty Group. Zandile, appreciate the early morning time. U.S., I mean, globally, we're looking out, particularly in the developed markets, around growth concerns, around global recession fears. It is a spooky place as we look out into the broader world and economic activity with tons of concern and of course, highlighted by Jerome Powell at Jackson Hole last week.
Certainly. So the global environment is definitely in possibly some of the worst of times, I think worse than the period in the 70s that we've seen. The war between Ukraine and Russia is not seeing any end anytime soon. And the strong responses that we've seen from the Fed are certainly starting to create not just challenges for the USA, but certainly for the rest of the world as well. The idea that recession is something that is on everybody's lips is a real concern. We are seeing very low growth already in parts of the very developed world. GDP in the USA around 0.6 in Q2, and we're seeing similar numbers in Europe, and, you know, China was also not very good. So we are facing quite a challenging time going forward, and it's certainly going to affect South Africa.
And that's just it. I mean, we understand that you know, what happens in developed markets, particularly the U.S., impacts us. It is going to be what's happening in the U.S., the rising rates, the slowing growth, although they've had a couple of negative quarters of growth indeed. That's going to have direct impact into the South African economy and market.
Yeah, we've already seen just in terms of how our Reserve Bank has responded to rising inflation. So this is imported inflation, nothing we can really do internally about it. And there is a sense that the South African Reserve Bank will continue to track what happens in the Fed. we have a lot of US-dominated debt, and our ability to keep up with our credit payments as a country will depend on, you know, how stable and how solid our currency is against the US dollar. So that impact just of rising interest rates in an inflationary environment is a big worry, especially for the household sector, which accounts for 60% of GDP. So just looking at the second half, there's a lot of pressure coming down on the consumer because of this.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned consumers there, of course, and they're certainly under pressure, and as you say, a big chunk of GDP. We've also seen underperformance, mining, manufacturing, retail to a degree. You know, we haven't yet seen that GDP number out of Stats SA. When it comes, it's going to be a tough period.
Yeah, both mining and recording 3 consecutive months of contraction. So they're definitely going to contribute negatively to the overall GDP number. We saw retail sales in the last month of the quarter also dipping into the negative at -2.5%. So the low consumer environment, as well as some of the most productive sectors of the economy are all kind of coming in at negative numbers. So Q2 is going to be a bit of a worry. Going forward, I think, you know, how far down is not really what matters. I think the recessionary environment is definitely there. Getting into the technicalities is just detail in a sense.
And this all taken into account, it's tough out there. We're getting internal pressure, we're getting external pressure from developed markets, as we've just spoken about. But you're of the view that there is, these are challenges, make no mistake, but there also can be some opportunities for business to future proof and, in fact, sort of, I don't know, prepare themselves for when things start improving.
Yes. So what's really important is that The tough economic environment also brings out some opportunities. We are already seeing some foreign multinationals looking quite interestingly at investing in South Africa, even in this most challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an energy crisis, which tends to attract a lot of, it's attracting a lot of foreign investment in terms of solving some of these challenges that we see in our own local market. So there's definitely pockets of improvement. And I think for business owners, it's a really good time to start looking at the long-term strategy of the business and start pivoting towards whatever you need. You know, take this opportunity to look at your skill set and see how you can fill in some of those skills shortages that we're experiencing in pockets of the economy. For investors, there are some really interesting stocks that have lost value but have that longevity built in them. So if we're able to just look at this beyond the next 2 to 3 years, it might just be an opportunity to strengthen us as an economy and business players.
I like that phrase, the longevity built into them, and I think you're absolutely spot on. And we are seeing, we're seeing a couple of stocks leaving our market, offers on Massmart, offers on Grindrod Shipping. Certainly everyone kind of likes a lot of opportunities there. We'll leave it there. Zindile Makoba, a consumer economist at Liberty Group, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Roy Douglas, CEO of Advertech, yesterday on their results. We'd had Akira results out. We got Stadio, which just came out yesterday as well. And the question then was, which is your preferred education stock on the JSE? To be so upfront at the top of the show, said that theirs was actually Stadio. On LinkedIn and Twitter, 40% of you said no education stocks for you. Advertech then came in sort of top place of the availables. Stadio and Curo equal, I suppose, second place. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Tetzo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We've got Marion Roberts' results.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.